Good. Well, 6 months ago, Mark was not thinking he would be here preaching this morning. And he was in Iraq and trying to find the Lord and ran across Brian, and Brian started teaching him and impacting him, and the Lord used Brian in a great way. And we praise God for that, because Mark's been coming and growing and learning, and God's working, doing a great work in his life. And we're proud of Mark, and we're excited about what God has done for him. He's got a great spirit and a great attitude, and he wants to serve the Lord with his life and make his life count. And we're excited. We're excited. We're proud of him. We're excited about what God's done, and that he is serving the Lord now. And it's amazing how quickly God can change your life once you find the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we're excited to have Mark tonight. This will be his first time preaching, and so support him and be a blessing to him. And Mark, come on up and preach to us and give us what God gave to you.
How you doing? Okay, first off, I want to thank Matthew, my fellow brother. In Christ, that was some great truth. I experienced some of that today, actually, in my unit. The Lord actually led me to preach glory. We must glorify him. And my key text, if you would actually start in Isaiah 43, verse 7. One of two of our chief ends of man is to give God glory. And verse number 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have formed him." And I just wanted to preach on that, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of my first time, so I'm nervous. All right, stick to the illustration. Okay, illustration was in Jeremiah 9:23-24. Chief end of man. This is what God delights in. This is what we are made for. And I'd say, hey, let's do it, because God's going to get it from us, and we're going to give it back to him. And in Jeremiah 9:23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorifieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for this things I delight." That speaks a lot of truth, and that just makes me think that that is what God values the most out of us, is that we glorify him. And we must glorify God, because it is due unto him. And we are commanded to, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, if you can turn there. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And also in 1 Chronicles 16:29, you don't have to turn there, I'll turn there because I've got tabs. It says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. Stop laughing. Make me laugh. Now, I don't know why God put this on me. Actually, I do know why. He put this on me, and I actually realized after 4-something years just how important glory is to God. And that's all I can say about that issue. Anyway, how can we glorify God? Since this is not Jeopardy, I'll tell you. One, we can appreciate him. To glorify God is to have God-admiring thoughts, to esteem him most excellent. In Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8. But what things were gain unto me, those I counted lost for Christ. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And if you don't know the story behind Philippians, Philippians was written by Paul. And Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was born in the tribe of Benjamin. He was circumcised on the 8th day. Had to hurt. And he was the creme de la creme. He was actually taught by the leading Pharisee of the time, too. But once he was given the truth, he counted it all dung to know Christ and to glorify him. And it's plainly written right there. So I think that he actually had, you know, a lot of admiration and appreciation for who Christ was and what he had done. And above all, to actually thank him for what he's done. Matthew actually said in Job that Christ wasn't even in the Old Testament, that Job actually thanked God for what he had, even when he had nothing. And throughout the Bible, great men of God are actually doing that. And I think that we as Christians nowadays, if we want anything from God, we should do the same thing. The next way to show it is adoration. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6, is an illustration of what it means to give adoration to Christ. And it's, we normally think of it as like respect nowadays. But what it says is, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Yes. And blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting their hands in the air. And I don't do this because I'm just timid when I'm in my chair. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And I see Brian do this all the time, and I think he's weird when he does it. And especially when I first met him, he was out there. But this is what it means. I mean, it's humbling yourselves before God, and that's what we should do also. Showing affection, and it's not like physical affection like we think of nowadays. We can't give God physical affection, but we can spiritually. And this is how we show our love to him in John 14:15. This is one of the powerful statements from the Bible, and I don't know anybody that can refute it. says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Good. That's the ultimate way we can show that God, we love God. And the next is subjection. And we stand dedicate our lives to God and stand ready for his service, just as Christ did in Matthew 26:39. Now, in the story of Matthew, in this chapter, Christ is actually praying towards God, and Christ is about to be crucified on the cross, but he doesn't want to. And you can see it plainly in this text, and it says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will. And he was God. That's just powerful right there. Jesus Christ, as the flesh, he was God, but he said, not my will be done. And that I find that actually kind of interesting that he says, not my will, but your will. And it's two different kind of personalities. That's kind of weird. Sorry, I'm digressing. Anyway, Christ did not want to die on that cross for us, but he chose to. And that's it. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to speak your word tonight. And Lord, thank you for this crowd at being a good sport, Lord. And I just ask that you bless Brian with as much knowledge as you have myself and Matthew, Lord, and everybody in this church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.